You have your Bible this morning. Turn over to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. We're going to be looking at a familiar story this morning. One that we've all read on a number of occasions. But lots of good stuff come from this story. I love the story of Zacchaeus, the tree-climbing tax collector. That's who he was. And it reminds us of a lot of different things. And we'll talk about those this morning. You know, we just sang some songs that talked about our broken generation. And we do live in brokenness. And in this world, many times, broken things are despised and thrown out, right? If something wears out in our home, we throw it out. We replace it. Anything that we no longer need, we throw away. And many times in our culture, damaged goods are rejected. And you know what? Sadly, this includes people. In marriage, when relationships break down, the tendency is to walk away and find somebody new rather than to be able to reconcile if possible. I know that's not always possible, but maybe sometimes it is. And the world is full of people with broken hearts and broken spirits and broken relationships. And to us, many times, broken things are despised and they're worthless. But I'm here to tell you this morning, and the life of Zacchaeus kind of tells us about this, God can take what has been broken and remake it into something better. Amen? Amen. He can take that which is broken and turning it into something that is better, something that He can use for His glory and honor. And broken things and broken people are a result of sin. We live in a sinful, fallen world. And because of that, there is death and disease and dying and brokenness. And broken things and broken people are the result of sin. But yet, God sent His Son, who was without sin, to be broken so that we might be healed. Amen? And such is the story of Zacchaeus. He was a broken man. And Jesus radically changed his life forever. And the results were God remade Zacchaeus into someone better, someone that He could use for His glory and honor. And so let's take a look at this familiar story and let's see what God wants us to learn today. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. It says, He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today I must stay at your house." So he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. And all who saw it began to complain, "He has gone to lodge with a sinful man." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, I'll give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. Today, salvation has come to this house," Jesus told him, "because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." And may God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. So three things I want to draw out from the Scripture this morning. And you've got an outline there in your bulletin if you want to look at it, if you want to take some notes. But the first thing that we want to mention this morning is just very obviously Zacchaeus hoped to see Jesus. Zacchaeus hoped to see Jesus. This is a familiar story as we talked about. All of us, one that we know very well, one that's been discussed and preached on in Sunday school classes and all types of things. We even as children, we sing a song, the Zacchaeus song. Remember that? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house to stay, for I'm going to your house to stay." And that's a familiar song. We like to sing songs like that because it reminds us of a good story. And as I thought about this story, I thought about, you know, thinking as a kid, hearing this story, I just kind of accepted it, right? We just kind of accept this story. But now I think this story is kind of weird. Why is that? It's an unusual story because it's not every day that you find one of the city's most influential and wealthiest citizens climb up a tree. You don't see that every day. I mean, really, it's not a very dignified thing for an adult to do. Even a vertically challenged adult like Zacchaeus was. As a kid, yeah, you used to climb trees and kids like to do that, and hopefully you didn't fall out and break your collarbone or something like that. It's kids, yes, we climb trees, but a well-established adult, no, you don't see that very often. So what motivated Zacchaeus to climb up that tree? Well, I just think he was curious. That's the bottom line. He was curious. He had heard about Jesus. He'd heard that he was coming through his area, and he wanted to see what this guy was all about. He wanted to see who Jesus was. He'd probably heard the stories of people being healed. He'd probably heard stories of great things that he had taught, and now he wanted to see Jesus for who he was. And guys, let me just say, Zacchaeus is kind of an example of people that we know and that we meet every day. He was a sinner who needed a changed life. Even though he was curious on a level, not probably seeking out a heart change, we still see people around us who are in the shoes of Zacchaeus. He was a sinner who needed a life change. And as we've discussed, and even as the songs that we sang this morning, people are living in brokenness. We live in a broken generation. And it's very sad to see the people who are literally going down a path and they will be eternally separated from God. And some of these people, though, may be beginning to realize, and maybe they even might be beginning to hope for a change in their life. They look for changes, they look for a change, and in many ways they find out that the direction they're going in, the what they're putting their faith and trust in, and because of it, they're going to be thrown right back into their brokenness. And I believe Zacchaeus was curious, yes. But perhaps he also longed for a change in his life. He knew who he was. He knew he was a dishonest man. Not only was he a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. So he was the boss over other tax collectors. He was wealthy. Tax collectors were known to be traitors to Israel. Not only did they collect the taxes that was for Rome, but they would tell people that they owed more money and they would pocket the difference and fill their pockets and become rich. And so he knew who he was, and perhaps he longed for a change in his life. But you know what? He didn't have any power to change his life. He needed a life changer. And Jesus is the life changer, amen? He's the life changer. And so when we put our faith and hope in Him, He changes us. Despite the fact that Zacchaeus was a cheater and a swindler and a dishonest man, guess what? Jesus still loved him. He still loved him. And so as I think about this story, I think in my own life, do I see people the way that Jesus does? Do I see people through Jesus' eyes or through Jesus' glasses or whatever you want to say? Do I see people through the eyes of Jesus? Because Jesus recognized that Zacchaeus needed a heart change. Zacchaeus was curious. That brings me to number two, point number two. Jesus saw an opportunity. He saw an opportunity. You know, there are many instances in the Bible where Jesus had knowledge of people's inner thoughts and their heart and their inner needs. And this situation was no different because Jesus saw Zacchaeus, and most importantly, he saw an opportunity to share a life-changing message with him. He didn't just pass on by. He didn't say, well, he's a tax collector and I don't want to offend anybody, so I'm just going to go on my way and go to where I'm going. No, he saw an opportunity to share in a life that needed to be changed, to share a life-changing message with someone who was a sinful man. And he saw straight into the heart of Zacchaeus. And so, in this instance, Jesus took the initiative and he didn't squander the opportunity here. And for us, we have to care enough about the lostness around us to do something about it. We often talk about it. We often complain about it. People who are lost and the world in which we live, but do we ever do something about it? Do we ever get to the point where we say, God has chosen me in the place where I live to be a witness, to be light in the world in which I live, to invest in people's lives? It is up to me. We are the hope of the world, not because of who we are, but because Jesus has made us the light. Amen? We are God's plan in His playbook. There's only one play in God's playbook to use us, the body of Christ, to share that we have the ministry of reconciliation, as the Bible says. So Jesus took the initiative. He didn't squander it. And He was intentional about sharing in the life of Zacchaeus. And one thing that we need to do is we need to bring ourselves to be more intentional about sharing the gospel. As I thought about this, and some of these things we've talked about before, but I'm going to share them with you again. Here are some things that you can do right now. It doesn't take any special training. It doesn't take any special knowledge. You don't have to read any book to do these things. Here are some things that you can do right now in your life to be more intentional about sharing the gospel. Number one, or letter A, engage in focused prayer. Engage in focused prayer. Do you have people that you pray for specifically by name every day that their eyes would be open to their need for the gospel? Do you have people that you pray for in your life specifically by name? I'm not talking about, Lord, save all of St. Charles County. I'm talking about people that you know specifically, that you know are lost. Do you engage in prayer every day and pray specifically for them? I would encourage you to pray for them by name. I would encourage you to spend time, whether you're in the shower in the morning or when you're eating your breakfast or brushing your teeth or driving to work or school, whatever you do in the morning, whatever your routine is, or maybe at night before you go to bed, spend some time in focused prayer for people that are lost. Engage in prayer. And then, not only that, pray for more harvesters. Pray that our church would grow. Pray that God would bring us some people who want to be involved in ministry, that they would go out and do these same things as well. Pray for harvesters and pray for people by name. Another thing that you can do is to be ready to share the gospel at a moment's notice. We have lots of resources out there that have been written by people that are great resources in how to share the gospel with people. One of the greatest ones that I think, in my own opinion, this is my opinion, and if you have something else that you like that is better, that's fine. There's no argument there. But in my opinion, one of the greatest things that we have is put out by the North American Mission Board. It's called The Three Circles. And I've got some of those little pamphlets back there on the back table. It's a way that you can share the gospel with somebody in an everyday conversation. It's called The Three Circles. It's written by a man by the name of Jimmy Scroggins, who's pastor of a church down in Florida. And he's wrote this for his church, and the North American Mission Board has taken it upon themselves and published it and made it a resource to churches all around the world. And it's a great resource in order to share the gospel. So if you want to be able to use and be able to be intentional, then learn a way to share the gospel with people. Whether it's the Three Circles or the Roman Road or Four Spiritual Laws or whatever, or maybe you've come up with something on your own. Use it. Learn it. Let it be second nature so that you can just share it and it'll flow off your tongue in an everyday conversation. Another thing that we can do, I was reminded of this a couple of months ago when I went down to the Missouri Baptist Convention, is to leverage your life for the Great Commission. What do I mean by that? Leverage your life in a way to be used for the Great Commission. Look at the opportunities that God has in your life. Okay? For me, one of the greatest ways that I can share the gospel, and God has put me in this position, is at our food pantry. We have a lot of people that come to the pantry that are physically hungry, yes, but yet they are spiritually hungry and they need to know the love of Jesus, not just with food, but they need to know how to become a follower of Christ. And so God has put me in a position, He's leveraged my life in a way that I can share the gospel with people at the food pantry. Think about your life. How can you use your job, your talents, for the Great Commission. You know, there are some people that go into a field of work, whether it be teaching or nursing or whatever you do. Every job can be a vocation. Every job can be a calling. And you can use your gifts and talents, no matter what they are, administration, whatever position God has put you in, you can use that as a way to share the gospel with people. My wife's Uncle Mike is a mechanic. He works at Roberts Automotive up off of 94. But you know, Mike uses his gifts and talents of knowing how to fix cars as a way to share the gospel with people. So what he does is he'll buy these old clunkers, he'll fix them up, and he'll sell them at a really, really cheap price to people. And he said, every morning I get up and I pray, Lord, as I'm working on this car and to sell to somebody else, would you use it as a way to bring glory and honor to yourself and to be a blessing to this other family? And Lord, if it's going to be a lemon, let me know, because I don't want to sell anything that's going to break down right after they buy it. That's what he told me the other day. And I thought, you know what? It's something that we all ought to be doing. If a mechanic can pray every day, Lord, let my life be a blessing to other people, then all of us can do that, right? It's leveraging our life for the sake of the Great Commission. There are people around you who ask spiritual questions. Be ready to talk to them. Share stories of hope with others. Share your personal testimony with them. And guys, let me just say, the ongoing change that Jesus brings to your life should begin to affect others around you. Last time I checked, Jesus said we are what? The salt and the light. Right? We are to be the ones that influence our community, not the other way around. And for far too long, we've stood back and we've let the world engulf us and we say, we can't do anything. That's baloney. We are the salt and the light. We are the one that are to fight against this culture and to spread the gospel and to share love with people. And so, do that. Sharing the gospel, guys, is hard work. Ministry, kingdom work is hard work. But we need to be patient. We need to let God work. And I don't know about you, but as I think about 2020, this new decade that we're about to be in, I want to be used by God this next year to win souls to the Lord. Like never before. And so we have to take responsibility for our communities and our neighborhoods and our families. As Leslie said earlier, our families are our greatest mission field. And so we have to do that. Jesus saw an opportunity. He didn't let this opportunity wander away or be squandered. He took the initiative and he shared the gospel with Zacchaeus. The last thing I want to mention this morning, verses 9 and 10 show us something that happened, a miraculous change. Number 3, the gospel changed the heart of Zacchaeus. The gospel changed the heart of Zacchaeus. You want to know what's going to change our culture? It's not government. It's not laws. It's not legislation. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what will change the heart of man. And this tax collector, who was considered a traitor by his own people, there was no way for him to have been considered to be a son of Abraham. Jesus kind of referred to him that. Yet Zacchaeus' heart was changed. He proved himself not only to be a son of Abraham in the sense of a Jew looking for the kingdom, but he also became a son of Abraham in the truest sense of the word because he had experienced salvation. He went through a heart change. Salvation came to him, not because of his good deeds, not because of who he was, but because he truly believed in Jesus and he set aside anything that might be a hindrance to obeying Jesus. Guys, let me just say that's what hope in Jesus does. It's a game changer. It's a game changer. And it changes the heart of sinful people. The hope of Jesus changed the heart of Zacchaeus, but it also changed his behavior, didn't it? He didn't just say, okay, I'm going to follow you now. Let's go home. Something else happened. His behavior changed. He demonstrated an inward change by outward actions. Under the Mosaic law, if a thief voluntarily confessed a crime, He had to restore what he took and add one-fifth to it and bring a trespass offering to the Lord. If he stole something and he couldn't restore it, then the law said he had to repay it fourfold. And if he was caught with the goods, he had to repay double. That's what the law said. Listen, Zacchaeus didn't argue over the terms of the law, what the rules were. What did he do? He offered to pay back the highest price because his heart had truly been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The change in his heart inwardly affected his outward actions. Amen? That's what Jesus does. That's why people need Jesus. He changes our hearts. When our hearts are changed, guess what? The outward actions that we do are going to change. If there's no outward actions that have changed, then we have to question, did we ever change inwardly? But we don't have to change outwardly to become followers of Christ first. We follow Christ, we commit our lives to Him, He begins His transformation, He changes our heart, and all of a sudden we begin to talk differently, we begin to watch different types of shows, we don't listen to the same types of music that we listen to, we begin going to church, we begin being a fellowship of a family, we begin giving tithes and offerings, we begin to fill our calendar with things that we didn't do before, because Jesus transformed our lives. Amen? And that's what happens. The change in Zacchaeus' heart inwardly affected his outward actions. That's what Jesus does. And Jesus radically changed the heart of Zacchaeus. And we know people in our world. We know people that we work with and go to school with, and people that are even live in the same house as us that need an inward change. That's why we have to pray for them. That's why we have to use whatever we can to share the love of Jesus with them. You know what the word Zacchaeus means? You know what his name means? This may surprise you. It means righteous one. Zacchaeus means righteous one. And listen, he certainly wasn't righteous before he met Jesus. He was a swindler. He was a cheat. He was an awful, despicable person. And nobody liked him except his other fellow tax collectors. And they probably didn't like him either. Because they knew that you're just as despicable as we are. In fact, you're the boss of the despicable people. So you're worse than us, okay? He wasn't righteous before he met Jesus. But he sought Jesus out. And guess what? Jesus changed his heart. Let me just say this, guys. Let me just say, if you don't get anything else, I want you to listen to this little statement. These few words, Jesus is hope, and hope changes things. Jesus is hope, and hope changes things. Who do you know in your life that needs the hope of Jesus? Perhaps people are bringing to your mind right now a name of someone that needs the hope of Jesus. Go tell them. Go tell them. Live your life. Pray for them. Ask God to open the door for you to share the hope with them. Listen, do we care enough about the lostness around us to want to do something about it? It's not enough just to sing about it and pray. We have to go put some feet to our prayers, right? We have to have actions. We have to go and tell. Do we care enough about the lostness around us to do something about it? Let me just say that we'll always find time and money for what's most important to us. For whatever is most important to us, we will always find enough time and we'll always find enough money to do it. There's nothing more important than kingdom work. That's why Jesus said, seek God's kingdom first. Then all these other things, they'll be added as well. But seek God's kingdom first. Because that's what truly matters. When a day begins, you never know how it's going to end. For Zacchaeus, that day ended in joyful fellowship with the Son of God. Zacchaeus was a seeker. And Jesus found him. Let me just say, has He found you? Has He found your heart, your life? Do you need to trust in Him? And for those that are already followers of Christ, are you looking around for those who need Jesus? Do you even pray for them? That their eyes would be open. Let's start there. Let's start praying for people. And then see how God begins to open the doors. And I guarantee you, as we pray for people, the Lord will break our heart for the spiritual condition of the people around us. I think there are times that we could stand for some more heartbreaking as we see the plight of people around us. Just like that song that Keith Green wrote many years ago, Asleep in the Light. Do you see all the people sinking down? Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you going to let them drown? Are our hearts broken enough to see the plight of people around us to want to do something about it? I pray that we'll be like Jesus. We'll not squander the opportunities that God gives us, that we'll share with others, pray for them, live our faith out so that we can tell others about the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you today for your great love for us. We thank you for the change that has happened in our lives. Lord, you have radically changed every one of us here that is a follower of Christ. There was a time in our life when we were lost in our sins, separated from you, and we recognized that, and we pled to you, we repented, we asked you to come into our heart and life. Your Holy Spirit entered our lives and changed us, and we have become your follower, and we can never be taken away from you. We'll never not be a child of God. But Father, in the same way that you saved us, Father, we know that you desire to save many, many more. In fact, you sent your Son to die for the entire world, everyone. That means you want everyone with you. And Father, you have chosen us as your bride, as your church, as your body, to go and share that message with others. And Father, there's nothing more important than that. Father, help us to reach the Zacchaeuses in our lives, the people that we see around us who need a life change. Father, work in our hearts this morning. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together. Amen.